coming in as Loeb. Gilbert centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flame.
Here goes, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hello. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. It is Wednesday, October 2nd. We're underway this hour on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Hello, Vixie. Happy Wednesday.
Pardon me, I'm a little flabbergasted right now, but real excited for what we have upcoming. We're going to have some fun discussions.
Sometimes the discussions that are being held just before we go on are even more entertaining.
Sometimes they rattle me, I'm not going to lie.
And this one did.
Yes, sir.
Mission accomplished. Hey, Dustin Wolf has done everything he can to make the best possible impression in training camp so far. I don't think it is hyperbole or exaggeration to say that this is the most important training camp of his career. This is the biggest opportunity of his career. And credit to Dustin. Everything that he's shown with this massive thing put in front of him, everything he's shown has been positive. Everything he's done would qualify as answering the bell, if you ask me. He's probably got one more chance, one more piece of game action before the regular season when he starts Wednesday night in Winnipeg. Flames play their second-to-last penultimate preseason game, preseason game 7 of 8, Wednesday night against the Jets. Wolf's going to start and go the full 60 is the plan. And there's nothing to suggest he won't continue to impress. Like, you take a look at those preseason numbers, 943 and a 1.8 goals against, 5 periods of work. And I know it's a very small sample size, but in the preseason, that's all you've got, small sample sizes. And all of the training camp practices I've been at, which have been all of them, and now the games that he's played in, Dustin Wolf looks like he is here on a mission. He is here to prove to himself and prove to the Flames that this is where my skates belong, this is where I belong, and I don't care if I'm ineligible for waivers. I don't care if you can send me to the American League freely. You're not moving me anywhere because I give you the best chance to win. And so far, as we move towards the end of the preseason and training camp, as we're into the final stretch now of camp, so far, so good. He's done everything in his power to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to sort of echo you a little bit, 3 goals against on 53 shots in 100 minutes. Like, that is a tidy bit of work for Dustin Wolf. And you know what? For me, though, scrap every single statistic that you can find on preseason, not just because it is preseason, not just because it is limited sample size, but just look at his composure, his compete in net, his ability to move side to side. Like, to steal a word from you, Patrick, he has been absolutely dialed in those 100 minutes. He's never looked,
trying to say that word less for the
but
record.
So I said it, though, so it's fine. I'm allowed to. I'm not trying to say it less. But you just look at what he's done between the pipes, stats aside, in terms of, again, his composure, his ability to read, his ability to fight through traffic. It is elevated even from the last set that we saw at the tail end of the season when he got a large body of work in. Like, he's come in ready to seize that opportunity, not just of being a goalie in the NHL on a full-time basis, but of being a number one goalie, because between he, Dan Vladar, and Devin Cooley, I've liked Wolf's body of work the most so far. And I just kind of go back to opening day in training camp and talking to Dustin Wolf. And you come into camp trying to be as prepared as you physically can. You have to come in very confident. You have to mentally believe you're going to go in there and take a job and play well and help your team win games. Everything he said that day, for me,
yeah,
he's backed up 100%. In those 100 minutes he's played in the preseason.
Yep, and he's played exactly 100 minutes. He's been really good. And with no disrespect to both Devin Cooley and Dan Vladar.
And they've played great themselves.
They have as well. Goaltending, period,
oh, yeah,
has been a positive for the Flames in the preseason. But with no disrespect to those two, Wolf is the priority organizationally.
True.
And Wolf has been the best guy in training camp to this point. One more start still to go before camp comes to an end. That's why I say October 2nd, and somebody says, Steinberg, who's your starter on October 9th in Vancouver? I don't hesitate when I say Wolf. And that Vladar's look good, and so is Cooley. But as of right now, October 2nd, no questions asked, I'm going Dustin Wolf for numerous different reasons. Because he's been the best guy in camp, because he has been in my eyes. But also, I think that is the type of decision that you make to really empower or like solidify a guy. Like, you're our guy. And I think it's as much kind of like a mental message to Dustin. Like, you're our guy. We know that we can send you to the American League without waivers. We don't care. You're getting the night one start against Vancouver, a division rival, to open the regular season. That's how much faith we have in you. And to me, that's a really, really powerful message to send somebody. So, yeah, I'm curious as to you. If somebody were to ask you, like me, for instance, Vickers, who is your night one starter on October 9th, which way are you going?
Well, as it stands right now, I'm 100% going Dustin Wolf. It's for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, but it also is an extension of that meritocracy you're trying to preach as an organization. It goes back to, you want to steal a spot, you got to take a jersey. You've got to earn your way into the crease. There's only one starting goalie on opening night, and Dustin Wolf hasn't done anything to this point, and we'll see a little bit more of his body of work against the Winnipeg Jets. But to this point, he hasn't done anything even remotely close to make me think that it might be Dan Vladar or Devin Cooley. And that's, again, that's no disrespect to the other two goalies who themselves, Dan Vladar's got a 2.56 goals against and a 9.13, and Cooley's got a 2.97 goals against and a 9.29. Collectively, the Flames goalies are at a 9.28 save percentage when you add in Valtteri Ignatiev. But for me, the answer is Dustin Wolf. And until he proves otherwise, it's his spot to have. And I think it's, one, you mentioned he is exempt from waivers. I don't think that's even going to be remotely a consideration at this point for the Calgary Flames in making their decision.
That's for you, Wes.
That's for you, Wes Gilbertson. Don't text me. Don't blow a gasket.
Don't come over by me.
Don't shake your fist across the table at me.
Went way over his head.
But, yeah, I did. But you just look at everything we've seen so far through the 100 minutes each for Wolf and Cooley and the 140 for Dan Vladar, and this is Dustin Wolf's spot to lose in my mind, and I don't even know if he's necessarily going to be able to lose it just because of the body of work we've seen thus far, plus all the other implications where you're showing, okay, young guy comes in, does his job, he gets rewarded, and as you mentioned, he's also just happens to be the goalie of the future for the Calgary Flames.
Well, and that is the other part of it to me, Vix, is that he is, because, look, the Flames are attempting to find pillars, right? They're attempting to find their franchise-defining pieces going forward. They're still looking for the center iceman, and that has not been solved as of yet, and won't be solved, if you ask me. That won't be solved until a draft where they find a number one center iceman. Maybe they've found a defenseman in Zane Parekh, and maybe they've had a goaltender since 2019 when they drafted him in the seventh round. So Wolf is potentially their guy. Wolf is potentially one of those pillars, right? And so I think for that reason, you can maybe, like, if it were so close to call, and I do think it's very close to call between Vladar and Wolf, but I think so far Wolf has been slightly ahead of Vladar in terms of the way he's played. But if it was truly like even neck and neck, I don't have a problem with the Flames leaning slightly towards Wolf, because he more factors into their future right now, with Vladar being a pending unrestricted free agent in less than a year's time. So all those things, I'm not just gifting the night one start to Wolf because he's your potential goalie of the future. It's that paired with the fact that he's been dynamite so far in camp in the preseason.
No, if we're sitting here talking about Dan Vladar and Devin Cooley being at 913 and 929 and Dustin Wolf being at 870 in terms of save percentage, yeah, you're not just gifting Dustin Wolf the start. It's something that you've got to earn. You've got to figure out what you do. And Dustin Wolf has certainly done that through, again, only 100 minutes, and he's going to get another opportunity to add 60 more to that. But there's just nothing that Dustin Wolf... I haven't seen anything in Dustin Wolf's game in that 100 minutes that makes me go, huh, this might not go his way. This doesn't look like he's going to be ready for a 1A position or a 1B position. Everything that we've seen, again, only 100 minutes, but everything we've seen in those 100 minutes... And to be honest, a lot of what we saw down the stretch last season set the table for this. But if I'm the Calgary Flames coaching staff, I'm their goalie team, I'm confident enough in what I've seen from Dustin Wolf to not only just give him a roster spot, one of two or potentially one of three. We'll see how that shakes out. But again,
and more on
looking,
that in a second.
Looking like Dustin Wolf from my perspective is the opening night starter.
You know, more than any other goalie that I've ever covered in this market, Wolf is, like, you can tell exactly the type of night Wolf is having just by watching him. Because, and we've seen this throughout the preseason, because of the physical limitations that go along with Dustin Wolf's size, when he is making everything look like it's just routine and it's starting that way right from the first period, you know that he is where he needs to be. Because the number one thing, and talking to Jordan Sigalette and talking to Jason LaBarbera over the last couple of years about this, talking to Kevin Woodley and other people who understand the position about 27 million times more than I do, his understanding of the game, his anticipation, his hockey IQ. Like, we talk all the time about hockey IQ for centers or defensemen, right? But we don't hear it a lot for goaltenders. But that is maybe the number one trait that leads Dustin Wolf's skill set, is that he understands the game, reads the game so well. He's kind of got that defensive back or center iceman brain where he's reading it, he's anticipating it, and that's why when, you know, you've got a shot from the left circle that looks pretty dangerous, he's already there and makes it look routine. And so we've seen that trait on display throughout camp and the preseason. That is more so than any other goalie I've ever seen up close and personal. That's such an indicator in terms of what he's doing right and him being on his game. So I think that it's been very interesting to see how kind of intentional he's been coming into this camp. I remember that first media scrum he did at Winsport, and Ryan Leslie asked him about his ad. He said, no, I have to come here. And I can't just be here hoping to win a spot. I have to come in here expecting that I will be the starting goaltender and there's no other option. And I give the guy a lot of credit. He's done just that so far.
A goalie his size making the position look boring is tough to do because, as you mentioned, there are physical limitations to a goalie that's listed at 6 foot. And so to your point, I'm going to just toss on another one because his ability to read the play as hockey IQ as a goaltender is off the charts. But so is his skating ability and his ability to move north-south and east-west. His edge work and his ability to navigate his crease is absolutely elite. So, yeah, he plays a boring brand of hockey in net. It might not be boring to him, but he's always in position. He makes saves that might not necessarily be routine, look routine, just because of the way he's processing the play in his mind and the way he's able to shuffle his body around with his skates to get in position. There's only a handful of times where you're like, oh, what a spectacular save. And I think back to last season, there were a couple of two-on-ones where he's in full splits moving laterally, but he's able to compensate for his size by reading the play and reacting so quickly and using those edges in his skating to get in position. And that's all we've seen through training camp for me is him look boring, and that's great for him.
And when he does not look boring, when he looks exciting, you know he's off it.
Yeah, the San Jose game.
That was exactly what I was thinking. That one, like, where he was like, he was like 10 feet in the air. I was like, what is this guy doing? And that was a night that he wasn't feeling it, wasn't reading it, wasn't seeing
it. But he owned it post-game,
too.
Absolutely. He said, called it a learning experience.
That was, I actually felt awful for it. That was kind of a mid-season recall that he came up on and was given an opportunity and was really rough. And he came out and owned it, probably more than he needed to own it, because it wasn't just him why they lost to the Sharks that night. But he came out and owned it, and owned it in a big way. And here's the other thing. And I'm curious as to where the text line is at 960-960 on the opening day starter and how this goaltending battle has gone. Here's the other thing. The Flames play three games in 5 nights, whatever it is. Yeah, 3-5 to start the year, because they play the Wednesday in Vancouver, 2 days back home, and they play a Saturday-Sunday. So you can easily, like, it's not like Vladar's not going to get worked in real early either, or whoever the other guy is that right. doesn't. Like, if it ends up being the way that you and I are on the same page on, and it goes Wolf on Wednesday, maybe you go Wolf in the home opener as well, and then Vladar's playing in Edmonton on Sunday in the second half of the back-to-back, and there's no concern, or, like, you're getting both guys lots of work in the first three games of the season. So, and it's still going to be a tandem. I don't think there will be a point this season where one goalie... Where we're looking at it, it's, we're three quarters of the way through the season, and one goalie's played 65-70% of the games. I think it's going to be a tandem or a trio at times all year long if there's no movement made.
Yeah, I don't think we're looking at a situation where we're going to check the box score and be like, ooh, goalie X has started 9 in a row. I wonder how they're going to work in the other guy or the other two guys. I really think that this is going to be a bit of a platoon situation. But at the same time, if Dustin Wolf seizes it right from the start, or if it's Dan Vladar or Devin Cooley, whoever, you want to ride the hot hand. And we all know how much the Calgary Flames have talked about how important the start is. If you get one of them rolling right off the hop, I can see the scenario where they get the majority of the starts. But I don't think the plan is necessarily to have Dustin Wolf up in the 58-plus game range when it's all said and done in terms of starts.
This from Dustin and Drumheller. I think if Vladar plays well and there are some goalie injuries around the league, Conroy will be dealing that asset, and that's why Devin Cooley is here. Well, I mean, they brought Cooley in for more depth. You can never have enough quality goaltenders in your organization,
right.
Or lottery tickets or whatever. Like, it really is like... It's a very difficult position to handicap.
Even year over year, it is. We've seen Jacob Markstrom go from a Vezina finalist to a sub-900 save percentage.
But and so if they do end up making a move, or if it's just as simple as Dan plays this year and then walks in free agency next year, whatever the case may be, you have Cooley here because I honestly don't think we're going to be seeing all three of these guys next season.
I'd be surprised.
You don't give Cooley a one-way for next year if you're expecting to have Vladar, Wolf, and Devin in the mix next year. And then this reads, Pat, call Sweeney in Boston and tell him Vladar is his for a second or third and a sixth. Before and that transitions us nicely
perfectly
into the second part of this goaltending conversation, because Wolf's been playing well. You and I are on the same page. Wolf should be the opening night starter if we're making our decision on October 2nd. Vladar is going to be on the roster. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And good on Dan for how well he's played and how good he's looked coming off the hip surgery and still getting his game back up to speed. Now we have to see it at a regular season clip and see how it translates. And then there's this whole issue about what do you do with Devin Cooley? And he's looked really good in training camp, and the goaltending community is very high on Cooley. The Flames are very high on Cooley. What about his waiver eligibility? What happens if you put him on waivers? Well, that story took a little bit of a step forward on Wednesday. I don't think Boston's in the market for a goaltender anymore. Obviously, they've got their Jeremy Swayman issue, but they went out and they claimed Yuri Patera off of waivers from Vancouver earlier on Wednesday. So, you know, there's probably right now, or at least going into today, there are probably three teams that you could easily identify as teams that would be interested in goaltending, interested in adding for free. Boston, well, they've now made their ad. They've brought in Patera. Vancouver, who I thought before they lost Patera were going to be interested in claiming somebody. Now they've lost a guy, so I think Vancouver's a team to keep an eye on. And then Anaheim's got the appendix and the appendectomy situation with John Gibson, so I think the Ducks will be looking on the waiver wire. Well, on Wednesday, not only was Patera claimed, but a couple more veterans put on waivers. Spencer Martin in Carolina and Cal Peterson was the other goalie put on waivers today. So, again, now if you're the Flames and you're trying to figure out your strategic timing on when to put Cooley on waivers, wait to see what happens on Thursday. Wait to see if there is a claim made by Vancouver or Anaheim on some of the guys on waivers right now. And all of a sudden, if in the next day or two Vancouver, Anaheim make their claims, well, you're feeling a whole lot safer about putting Cooley on waivers, right?
Yeah, you've eliminated Boston from the conversation. There's a good chance you might eliminate another team from the conversation with the names you mentioned, although I don't necessarily see Cal Peterson getting claimed just with his cap hit and everything involved there.
Yeah, and I'm not saying those guys specifically get claimed.
But you have an opportunity to observe what the goalie market is and if there's a big shuffle.
Would you be shocked if Vancouver went back and brought Spencer Martin back?
I wouldn't necessarily be shocked there. The wrinkle to that is they just signed Kevin Lankinen on a one-year, one-way deal.
Yes.
So they've kind of committed a little, and again, we're not talking about millions of dollars here, but they have committed to Lankinen in the short term with Thatcher Demko out. And they do have Artur Seelovs, who I think they're quite high on. We saw him in the playoffs last year. We saw him be named the World Championship MVP with Latvia in 2023. So I think there's a desire to see him there. But the reason why they pop back up as a contender for me, particularly with Spencer Martin, is Patera gets claimed. So all of a sudden, their goaltending depth is shot. When you don't have Demko, yeah, you take Patera out. Suddenly, you play a little game of musical chairs, and you're wondering, I think we might need to go add someone. So if you're the Calgary Flames and you have the ability to delay or time when Devin Cooley goes on waivers, if indeed he does go on waivers, I think it's a benefit. You can kind of wait and see how other teams are reacting to other goalies being available for free on waivers. And if, again, if you're Craig Conroy and you have the ability to decide when and you're satisfied or you're comfortable enough to chance it, or you've seen, again, the carousel go around and everybody seems to have found a home a little bit, then you're more comfortable. That's the way to do it. I've never heard one person, whether it's a coach, management, or a goaltender themselves, yeah, get excited about a three-goalie system.
No, I mean, even talking to Kevin Woodley, who will be with us on Thursday's program, the only one that he talked about that he's ever heard being positive was Buffalo's situation last year. But they had Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, they had
Devin Levi,
and another goalie.
Did they have Comrie then?
Yes, that was who it was, Eric Comrie, yep. I remember.
What's funny about that carousel is, you know who was fourth or fifth on that depth chart then? Devin Cooley.
That's right, and then Cooley ended up in San Jose. I remember that game that the Sabres were here. They had the three goalies, and I remember I was the only one watching, like the only of our media watching Sabres morning skate, trying to figure out who was starting in net, and so I just was Googling pads. And I was like,
where'd you pick up that trick?
Just a little buddy of mine.
Okay.
A little buddy of mine from Grand Prairie.
Ugh. Anyways, continue.
I don't know if you needed to...
What are they going to come after me?
Is the Swan City
going to send me a nasty text?
I don't know if we needed to fire strays at the fourth biggest city in fifth biggest city in Alberta. No, maybe not.
Six. Calgary. Maybe seven. What's
Calgary,
Fort Mac?
Edmonton, Red Deer.
Lethbridge.
Medicine Hat, Fort Mac. So maybe seventh biggest.
Trembling.
Look it. I just didn't think you needed to fire strays at GP, that's all. Okay, it's Steinberg and Vickers. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk, Daily Flames Roundtable. In just moments, we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time now for our Daily Flames Roundtable. It is a Wednesday, and our Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport. It's Steinberg, Aaron Vickers, and now Derek Wills joins the program, the voice of the Flames, to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Wednesday as the Flames get set to play their second-to-last penultimate preseason game of 2024. We're into the home stretch of training camp for 2024, gents. And I don't, like, for me, there's no debate that the guy who is most under pressure as camp comes to an end is 2019 first-round pick Jacob Pelche. Gentlemen, as the Flames are very much in the home stretch, how are we feeling about Jacob Pelche's status on this team, on this roster, with us being a week away from the start of the regular season?
Not great, to be completely honest with you. I do think that there is a very good chance that he will be on the Flames opening day roster. I don't think there's a great chance he will be in the Flames opening night lineup for that game against the Canucks at Rogers Arena on October 9th. He's just been underwhelming in the preseason, at least for me. And when I think about what spots are up for grabs on this team, I think the one that's obvious is fourth line winger, playing in a line probably with Kevin Rooney and Ryan Lomberg. And for me, there are three guys and maybe more guys ahead of him. You've got Sam Honzek, Matt Coronato, and Adam Klapka, who have all had very strong preseasons, much stronger than Jacob Pelche, in my opinion. So he's just been underwhelming, hasn't popped for me. And listen, it was a tough year for him. Was limited to 31 regular season and postseason games with the Flames and the Wranglers after sustaining that shoulder injury in the Flames preseason opener against the Kraken last year. And it really feels like that has stalled his development. It doesn't mean that he can't turn the corner, and maybe that starts to happen tonight. But guys, to this point in time, he hasn't popped for me. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, the adjective I would use, I think, would be I'm a little bit uncomfortable, to be honest, and I think Jacob Pelche should be as well, because, Wilsey, you mentioned Honzek, Klapka, and Coronato. If we're doing a depth chart or a performance chart, I would have all three ahead of Jacob Pelche, but I would also have Dryden Hunt in that conversation as well. And so it becomes a conversation of what are we doing with Jacob Pelche. Of course, he requires waivers to be assigned to the American Hockey League. You did invest a first-round pick in him in 2019. Now, that is a half decade ago, but he still showed glimpses 2 years ago in the NHL in that short stint. And I can't move past that and be ready to move past Jacob Pelche as a member of the team if I'm management or if I'm head coach Ryan Huska. And I agree with you, Wilsey, in the fact that I think he's on the opening night roster. I would have a harder time suggesting that he's going to be in the opening night lineup. I do think there's an opportunity to get him back to where he was, but that's going to require patience. That's going to require a roster spot in the NHL. And I can see both scenarios where he's on the opening night roster. Again, not lineup, but roster. But I could also see a scenario where the Calgary Flames are like, okay, well, if we're going to stay true to meritocracy and we've got these other three young guys that are making an up push to be full-time members of the Calgary Flames, there's a situation where Pelche could be odd man out. It's not necessarily the route I would go. But again, to circle back to the question, I'd be uncomfortable if I'm Jacob Pelche right now.
The situation is that he's had a very underwhelming camp, guys, and that is just what it is. And Wilsey, you talk about the names that are in front of him, and I'm completely with you. Like, you take a look, Klapka, Lomberg, Rooney, Morton, goes out, Coronato, Honzek, like all these names. I think Dryden Hunt. All these names, I think, have impressed more than Pelche has so far in camp.
Agreed.
The problem is, and I understand the whole idea, and some on the text line have pointed this out, like Flames want to run their business and make their decisions based on meritocracy, which I think is admirable and good. But at the same time, you still have to practice good asset management. And, yep. And one of the things that we talked about last hour, Wilsey, is that I think – I would have no problem if the Flames lost Jacob Pelche at some point, but you can't have that happen until you know what he is. And I don't think you can know what he is right now. I don't think on October 2nd, with two more preseason games to go, after a really frustrating injury plague last season, I don't think that you can just say that, well, Jacob Pelche is a bust and he's never going to be an NHLer. I think he needs more time with the organization this season to figure that out. And if that means he starts the year on the NHL roster and gets shuffled in here and there and get some playing opportunities that way, as Vic's talked about, maybe building his confidence back up in practices as well, And then in like December or January, you're like, yeah, it's still not working. And then you put him on waivers. Well, it's a whole lot less likely he's going to get claimed then. And that way, I don't feel like you're exercising poor asset management. I feel like if you were to lose him right now and to put him on waivers right now, I think that would be a fair criticism. So despite the fact that I am in full agreement with you guys that he has been underwhelming, I think we're all on the same page that, you know, putting him on waivers prior to the season and potentially losing a guy that 2 years ago was one of the lone bright spots in a pretty miserable campaign isn't the way to go.
This might not be the best comparison, but you don't want him to turn into another Paul Byron. And I say it's not the best comparison because Byron was not Flames' first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Pelche is. But, you know, similar size, I think similar skill set. And, you know, the Flames lost Byron on waivers for nothing, and then he turned into a really good NHL player for a number of seasons. I would not want to see Jacob Pelche on waivers at any point in time this season. I think he almost has to start the season on the roster because he's waiver eligible, but I just can't see him being in the opening night lineup. Now, if he has to sit in the press box for a little while and practice with the team, I think that's okay. I don't think it's ideal, but I think it's better than having to put him on waivers and risk losing him, because I think you probably would lose him. Again, he's got first-round pedigree, and you know, we talked about last season and the injury that held him to 31 games. Well, don't forget, he's another COVID kid, so to speak, right? His development probably stunted a little bit by the pandemic and the lack of games and whatnot. So I still think there's something there. The player who I saw when he came back from that shoulder injury is still the player who I think Jacob Pelche can be. And I think at his best, he would be a really good fit on a fourth line with Kevin Rooney and Ryan Lomberg. An energy guy who does have some upside offensively. But, you know, Pat, you talked about the Flames not knowing what Jacob Pelche is at this point in time in his career. I'm not sure Jacob knows what he is at this point in time in his career at this level. You know, he's been a top six guy at every other level. He would be a bottom six guy at least to start at this level, but that doesn't mean that that's his ceiling. So we'll have to wait and see where it goes, but I'd love to see a strong game from Pelche against the Jets here tonight.
It is our Daily Flames Roundtable with Derek Wills and Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. Let's just continue that conversation, guys. Knowing what we just talked about with Pelche and knowing where things could or could not sit with him, what is your ideal fourth line? Like, if you had your choice on Wednesday, October 9th, in 1 week's time, what's your ideal fourth line for this team?
That is such a hard question to answer. Woo! And it's a question that I'm happy to have to answer, because I think you have at least three, if not four or five guys who you could legitimately see playing on a line with Kevin Rooney and Ryan Lomberg. Because I think those two guys, if not penned in, then they're certainly penciled in to play against the Canucks on October 9th. So who's going to play wing with them? We talked about the three young guys who have stood out during training camp in the preseason. Two different types of players. So Sam Honzek and Matt Coronato are offensive guys, although Honzek has showed that, you know, he can be an impactful player even when he's not scoring goals and producing points. And, hey, he's produced more points than any player in the NHL so far in the preseason, so he's done a great job on that side of things as well. And Coronato was red hot to start the preseason. He's fallen off in the last couple of games. We'll see what he looks like tonight. But then you've got a different type of player in Adam Klapka, and I had a great chance with him, a great chat with him earlier on today, and I really think that he can play different types of roles for you on a fourth line. And Adam talked about how throughout his hockey career, he's always had to start on the fourth line at every level, and then he would work his way up. Well, I think he's going to get an opportunity to do that, if not to start the season, then at some point in time during the season for the Flames. And I think he can be an effective fourth liner because of his size, because of his skill, and because of his physicality. And he's got great size, and he's starting to use that on a way more regular basis. So I could certainly see him on the right side of a line with Kevin Rooney and Ryan Lomberg. But then again, if Sam Honzek continues to do what he's done throughout the preseason, and that is blow your socks off, and Matt Coronato does what he did at times last year and has done at times during the preseason this year, I could see either one of those guys playing in a fourth line role. And that's not where they project long term. I think both Hanzek and Coronado are going to be top nine players, maybe even top six or top line players, but the top nine's pretty much set right now, unless someone gets hurt tonight or Friday or before the start of the season next Wednesday. So really, these guys are all fighting for one spot on the fourth line, but you could use them on special teams, and we've seen Hanzek on the penalty kill. I think you could see him or Coronado on the power play as well. And then if someone in the top nine isn't performing or gets banged up, you could always move them up the lineup in a game as well. So, Pat, I know my answer is more of a non-answer, but I really think that those three young guys are fighting for a spot. If you held my feet to the fire today, I'm not going to change my answer from yesterday. Sam Hanzek is the guy for me.
My simple answer is going to be Lomberg on left, Rooney down the middle, Klapka on right. I've really liked what I've seen out of Adam Klapka, and it goes beyond his three goals in four games. I just go back to the game on Monday where he had five shots and seven hits in some limited action. And if you can get somewhere near that out of a guy on your fourth line regularly, I would take that all day. Plus, again, you've got the size, you've got the physicality, you've got the reach, you've got a little bit of a touch. But I want to have a little bit more fun with this. And indulge me if you will, because I think we all agree Sam Hanzek has been such a great story throughout training camp for the Calgary Flames. And I think we all kind of agree that you could play him on the fourth line, but ideally you move him up in the lineup to more prominent role. And if you do that, it comes at the expense of somebody that's already in your top nine. And I don't like to do this because I think the world of Martin Pospisil, but how much fun would a fourth line of Lomberg, Pospisil, and Klapka be? I think it would drive the other team nuts. And again, I don't think that's necessarily the best use of Martin Pospisil, but just to put a little bit of a spin on the question, what would be your ideal fourth line? I just maybe from a pure entertainment, and you do it for one period even, and I'd be satisfied. But I would love to see Lomberg, Pospisil, Klapka just run around out there and create havoc and have every defenseman on the other side constantly looking over their shoulder when they're on the ice. Again, is that going to be a long-term fit? No, absolutely not. And it's an absolutely silly premise. But Lomberg, Pospisil, Klapka would be so entertaining to me. Aside from that, I'm going Lomberg, Rooney, Klapka.
So then is that Hanzek not on your opening day roster?
I think potentially so. And we've talked many times about how you could get Hanzek more minutes, you know, if he's starting on the fourth line, but yeah, you can elevate him through the lineup or you can give him special teams work. But I've just really liked what I've seen from Adam Klapka and how much of a fit he's been, particularly with Ryan Lomberg. I'm kind of partial to go that way.
And I understand. I just think you've got to get Hanzek on this opening night roster, and maybe so. I'm with you, Wilsey, on this one. And it's not even a knock on Klapka. You know, I think that there are ways that you can that you can change things around on your fourth line and shuffle guys in here and there. But if it's me, I am 100% finding a way to get Hanzek in my opening night lineup, and if that means Klapka has to not be in, I'm okay with that. Like, if I have to go Rooney with Lomberg on the right and Hanzek on the left to start the season, and then Wilson, to your point, you know, getting that if he's playing 8.5, 9 minutes, 5-on-5, we'll get him some penalty kill time, which he saw a lot of in his last game. Maybe see if you can work him in on a second power play unit. And then, yeah, if when Ryan Huska decides to shorten his bench, like we saw many times last year, Hanzek could be one of those guys who gets that bump. I think there's plenty of wisdom to that, and it's not fully 100% ideal, but I think it's more ideal than not starting your best guy in camp on your NHL roster and in your NHL lineup. So I'm kind of where you are, Wilsey.
Yeah, especially when you've been preaching to your players the importance of having a strong training camp in preseason and where that might lead. So for me, going into preseason game number 7 of 8, Sam Hanzek has been the best of the bunch, not just because he has 2 goals and 7 points, but he's just looked like an NHLer. He's looked less like the boy that he did last year at this time, and even during the Young Stars Classic this year, and more like the man that he has since the preseason game against the Kraken in Seattle back on September 22nd. And I think that he can do more than just produce points. He's been skating. He's been physical. And I love that part of his game. And quite frankly, I just didn't see it coming, certainly not as a 19-year-old with what I had seen from him as an 18-year-old, and even as a 19-year-old a few weeks ago. If I had to rank the three guys we're talking about here, Hanzek, Coronado, and Klapka, I would go Hanzek 1A, and this might surprise you guys. I'd go Klapka 1B, just because I think that he's more of a prototypical fourth-line NHLer right now than Coronado is. I think Coronado has the highest ceiling of the three of them when it comes to goal scoring, but you tend not to bury goal scorers on your fourth line, so I think he could play in that spot. I just don't think he's maybe the best fit for that spot with the competition he's had to this point in training camp in the preseason.
Wilsey, I don't think you're crazy at all to rank them that way, because I see it exactly the same, and I don't think I'm crazy, so we're going to go from there. Now, I am going to come back.
I think you're both crazy.
I think you're crazy.
I am going to come back to you, because as the question is written on the page, it says, what is your ideal fourth line as it stands right now? So I'll go back to having Lomberg on left, Rooney down the middle, Klapka on the right. I would actually, ideally for me, Hanzik isn't on your fourth line. He's higher up in your lineup, but I don't necessarily see a way to get them there right now. So I'm not gonna look at you, Pat, across the table. And Wilsey, I'm not going to shoot barbs at you from halfway across Western Canada, because I do think you have to find a way to get Hanzik in your opening night lineup based on everything that we've seen out of him so far. But if we're talking ideal, if we're talking what it looks like in November, December, January, I really like what I've seen out of Klapka, provided he can maintain what he's done.
Yeah. Good stuff, gents. I'm really curious to see where this story goes. And we've got two more preseason games to make that decision before the Flames have to get their opening night roster in for Monday, October 7th at 3 p.m. Calgary time. And we'll have a whole lot of a better idea as to where this thing is going, plus Tyson Barrie, the blue line, the goaltending, all of it, when we get to the end of the preseason on Friday night, when Calgary welcomes Winnipeg. For now, Wilsey, appreciate it, my friend. You be well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
He is Derek Wills. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. There's your Daily Flames Roundtable for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. I do have to say how refreshing this whole thing is, knowing that we actually have some of these conversations legitimately. We're not just fabricating them into the final stretch of camp here.
What if we went 13-5? That way you get everybody in the lineup, Pat.
14-4. Like, 14 all you and need four. Is two pairings, right? Raz and Weegs, and they like to play a lot.
Is there a way you can only dress one goalie and use that roster space somewhere else?
I think that one's actually illegal.
Okay.
Thanks. Has anybody, like, I know the Flames once went with 5D because...
But they had 17 forwards, or not 17, pardon me, 11 forwards too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Are you talking the cap year when ran out of cap space?
Daryl and the group kind of got in a messed up cap situation. I believe that was the 08-09 season, and that was how, I think it was John Ramage made his NHL debut that night, because they were so hooped on their cap. Yep. And that they had to go 5-11.
They couldn't ice a full 18-man roster at that point. Yeah, I remember that.
Text line, this reads, why did they even bother signing Mantha? Just takes up a spot. It has made things a little bit more jammed up for sure.
But you want that in competition. You don't want to just gift a guy a spot. You want him to come in and earn it. So if you're Hanzik or you're Coronado or you're Klapka, you've got to beat someone as opposed to assuming you're just going to steal an NHL job just by way of numbers.
This reads, think Klapka gets the job. He'll start on right wing. This reads, who is Rooney outplayed to earn a spot? Well, honestly,
I have had no problem with this game in preseason. He's not scoring 19 goals, but that's not what he's asked to do.
And who is he competing with? Sam Morton and
Cole
Schwint. And, you know, I think Sam's had a great run here.
Yep.
But Sam Morton probably needs to start the year in the American League.
This season's his first full pro year.
100%. And Kevin Rooney is a guy that has the ability to kill penalties and helps them a lot on their penalty kill. So I've got no problem with the way Rooney's camp has gone. This from Colin. Klapka over Hanzek's a joke, personally. Hanzek's shown he deserves the spot over Klapka and Pelche as it stands right now. This says from Mick, Hanzek absolutely goes to the Wranglers. He develops faster there. I put a lot more importance in last season than a couple of weeks in the preseason. This reads, why Rooney? We know what he is. Give someone else a chance. This says Coronado just didn't play hard enough, like he thinks coasting will work. I don't think Coronado's coasted.
No.
But I do think Hanzek's outplayed him so far. And this says, what about Hanzek with Coleman and Backlund? Great, that'd be awesome. But then where does Zeri go?
Then you move Zeri down the middle. You move Pospisil to the fourth line between Lomberg and Klapka.
I don't dislike that, by
the way.
I think
it'd be hilarious myself. That's more my own personal entertainment than what I actually think they should do, though.
Mm-hmm. Hey, great stuff. Another good hour of Flames Talk in the books. Thanks for hanging out with us. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Shan Virgie and Cam Hughes are producers this hour as well. As we start to wrap things up, this hour has been The Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.